And it's really hard to know where to begin and where to end. You know, we're going to try to go through as much as we can. I do encourage people to come to the Torah for Today discussion, which is currently just on the Zoom online, virtually at 1 o'clock. But we're going to hopefully get through a lot of material. I just can't cover it. I can't cover it in too short a time frame. But as we open up our scriptures, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just speak to us today. May these be your words, your heart, your will for us, for all of us in this time. We praise you, we thank you, and we pray that you go before us as we open up your word and learn more about you. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up with a question today with my message. And the question is, are you a little lost today? Are you a little confused with everything that's going on in this crazy, crazy world we have? Are you a little shaken up? There is such confusion and chaos going on in our world, in our country, but really all over the world. I feel like 2020 should be called the year of chaos. Do you agree with me? 2020 is already the year of chaos. I'm ready for 2021 already. A new poll came out this week. This is a national, very reputable poll, major poll. The poll found that 80% of the people that were polled, 80%, 80, believe things are out of control in the United States. I'm probably one of those 80%. I don't know about you. On top of the global pandemic, which we've been dealing with, right, for 3 months, we have this horrible killing that's happened in Minneapolis several weeks ago, the killing of George Floyd, which has touched off all this racial unrest in our country, racial division, racial unrest that's been brimming underneath the seams for 400 years here, unfortunately. We really haven't dealt with it as a country. We need to deal with it, of course, in a thoughtful way. We really need the Lord is what we need to get us out of this. Amen. But what's going on is just chaos in so many ways. It's confusion. People are stressed out. People are on edge. People are searching. People are seeking. What are they seeking for? And they're doing it in all sorts of manner of healthy and unhealthy ways. They are searching for truth. They are searching for answers. They are searching for direction. Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are, what you've been through, this is affecting you and I. If you're young and just starting out, this is affecting you. If you're older and retired, this is affecting you. If you're somewhere in between like me, this is affecting you. This is affecting all of us. The simple truth is this. We are a little lost today. As a country, even as individuals, there's times when we can just get wrapped up in this confusion and chaos. But here is the thing. And this is what I truly believe, and I know many of you believe. God wants to give us direction. God is in control. Not just at this time of racial unrest, not just at this time of a global pandemic, all the time, God is in control, and He wants to give you and I direction. Amen? Amen. He wants to give you and me purpose, meaning in life, lasting meaning. He wants us to guide. He wants to guide us. The Bible says, I'm not going to turn there, 1 Corinthians 14:33. Our God is not a God of confusion. That's what the Bible tells us. So when there's confusion and chaos going on, remember, this isn't from God. God is not the author of confusion. The enemy's the author of confusion. God is our God of peace. Peace. When Israel was lost in exile in Babylon, a very terrible, dark time, a time of confusion, a time of unrest, of misunderstanding, doesn't know what's going on, not knowing what's going on. God tells the people of Israel, the children of Israel, this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, we memorize that, we know that, it's sort of cliche almost. But remember when this was spoken over the children of Israel. It wasn't a time of happiness. It wasn't a time of being in the land and peace. It was a time of unrest. It was a time of confusion. It was a time of not knowing what's going to happen outside of the land because of sin and exile. God wants to give you and I a future and a hope, and he's speaking to us even during this crazy time. In this week's Torah portion, the children of Israel were literally wandering through a desert. There was no GPS. Do you know you get frustrated when the GPS malfunctions? Have you ever had your GPS malfunction? One day, I was driving down the road, and it said, go down here, and I mean, it was a dead-end road. It's like, what's going on, you know, Siri? What's going on with all this stuff? There was no GPS in the desert. There was no highway. There was not even a map. They didn't know which way to go. And in the Torah portion, turn with me to Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. In the Torah portion, we see in their distress, in their confusion, in their wandering, God guided and directed them through the wilderness. Verse 15 of Numbers 9. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Verse 17. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. There was clear direction in the midst of this desert. God was ordering their steps. God was telling them when to stay, when to go. He was directing them. God was in their midst. Now, you and I are not wandering around a physical desert, a really hot desert right in the Middle East right now. We're not. But spiritually, we are in a desert. As a country, we are in a desert. Even many times as individuals, we can be in a desert. We are figuratively walking through this crazy 2020 desert, right? We don't know which way to go. But God wants you to know that he is ordering your steps. Even though we can't see it, we don't have the map to tell us where to go, God knows where to go. God's got the ultimate GPS. God wants to order your steps. God wants to guide you through the seasons of your life, and God wants to be in your midst. The great news is we don't have to figure it all out. Anybody that tells you they've got it all figured out is either lying or really, really, run. They really don't know what they're talking about. You don't have to be perfect. That's the good news. You can have doubts and struggles. You can wrestle with God. Israel wrestled with God. In fact, the name Israel comes from Jacob wrestling with God and then being given the name Israel. So there is a wrestling going on, and there's a precedent for times of misunderstanding and chaos and confusion, wrestling with God. And God is going to provide that direction. The Lord is with you and I today, no matter what is going on. Now let's continue. Chapter 9 of Numbers. I'm going to read verse 18. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. They were following the Lord. Now, what had happened? Israel had just come out of slavery. Israel had just come out of 400 years of oppression, of real bad slavery and forced labor. Things were getting harder and harder. And this wilderness experience, it was miraculous how they came out, right? But this wilderness experience was new terrain. This wilderness experience that they were in for 40 years was new territory. They did not know how to get through the desert. That meant that they had to totally rely on God. They couldn't do it themselves. Even if they wanted to, they couldn't do it themselves. They couldn't figure it out. You know, some of us are very resourceful. We can get through hard times. We can kind of figure our way out of things. This was not one of those times. They were stuck in the desert, but they had to totally and completely rely on God. They had to listen to God and accept his direction. What would happen if they didn't? They would have been lost, and they would have died out in the desert. Now, the first generation did die out because of unbelief, right? But the second generation was able to go in. They were led by the Lord into the promised land. But only God was the one that could order their steps, telling them to go or to stay. They had to listen to him. And that's the way it is with us. In this desert that we're living in today, We have to remember, and this is the first point we could put up, just as God ordered their steps, he will order your steps. You have to believe that. God is with you, he's for you, and he is going to order your steps through this crazy desert that we're in. We're going to try to do it ourselves. We're going to try to get on social media and give all the answers, right? It doesn't work like that. God has got to order our steps. We can get answers, but we have to get answers from the Lord, and we have to follow him. He is going to order our steps. Now, this is really interesting wording here in this next verse we're going to read. Isaiah 58, go to verse 11. I want you to understand, remember, a desert. There's no signs. You know how you watch the Looney Tunes and you see like the animal, you know, bones, and then sometimes there's a sign that says this way, go here. There was no signs in the desert. Nobody was telling them, oh, you got to go this way. It's 5 miles down the road to the next town. They were wandering around. Isaiah 58:11 says, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's wonderful language, right? It's the opposite of what you expect in a desert. They were wandering around in a desert with no wells, no streams of water. God had to miraculously pour out water from a rock. That's how the Lord was guiding them. It was by his hand that they were even alive. He had to do a miracle in the middle of a desert and pour out water from a rock. Water doesn't automatically pour out of rocks, okay? He miraculously had to provide. He had to provide that flowing water for them to live. And God poured out water many times. He did these miracles. He dropped down manna. He dropped down quail. He poured water out of a rock to sustain them and get them through. So they had to totally rely on God. Anything other than God was counterfeit. Anything other than God would not sustain them. Now, when you think of the desert, think of a desert for a minute. When you're in the desert, totally barren, what do you see sometimes in the desert? Sometimes you look and you see water, don't you? But it's not really water, is it? What you see is water up ahead. As you get closer and closer to the water, it's a mirage. It's not really there. It's just sand, right? It's just sand. It looks so real, but it's not there. That's a mirage. A mirage tricks you into thinking there's water when there is none. And a mirage is an imposter. Anything other than God ordering your steps is a mirage in your life. As you get closer, it's gone. That's not the way of the Lord. That's the way of the world. That's the way of relying on anything other than God. We get these mirages. Now, what are these mirages for us today? Because we're not in a physical desert. Well, these mirages for you can be media, can be the television sometimes, can be friends. Sometimes you have some good friends, right? But sometimes you have those Job kind of friends, right? Sometimes you can't listen to your friends. Family, unfortunately. TV celebrities telling you which way to go, the direction to go when their life is a mess, right? It could be social media. Social media. Oh, boy. Let me ask you, what is ordering your steps today? Is it a mirage or is it the Lord? Because the mirage, as you get closer and closer, it's not really there. We have to remember that. Matthew 6:33. Anything other than God in your life is ultimately a mirage. You've got to wrap yourself up with the Lord. You've got to seek the Lord. You've got to let the Lord guide you. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are we seeing in the world today? We're seeing everybody else's righteousness coming out. Everybody thinks they're so righteous and they know all the answers. So, look, I think I know a lot of answers. You think you know a lot of answers. God's the one that provides the answers. Everything else is a mirage. And if we seek first his kingdom and if we seek first his righteousness, he is going to add all these things unto us, meaning he is going to provide for you in your life. He's going to pour out water from a rock, a miracle. He's going to drop down manna, spiritual manna for you, even in the middle of a desert. God wants to direct your life. How does he direct our life? Opening up our Bible and reading our Bible. Praying. Seeking him fervently. Surrounding ourselves with people that will encourage us in the Lord, in our walk. Through these things, he's going to show you where to go. He is going to lead you. Okay? He doesn't always provide the cloud and the fire. That doesn't really happen. I don't see anybody walking around with clouds and fire in front of them. But he does these things spiritually for us. God will order the steps of your life. Okay, turn with me back to Numbers chapter 9. We're going to continue to move through this. Numbers chapter 9. We're going to go now to verse 22. We see the children of Israel led by the Lord, the cloud and the fire. And we read in Numbers 9:22, whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. So now God is guiding their steps, but what he's also doing is he's telling them when to go, when to stay, and even how long to stay there and what to do when they're there. And that's the second point. If we could put up the second point. Not only will God order your steps, God will order your seasons. He will order your seasons, just like he did for the children of Israel. There are seasons in your life, just as there are seasons in my life. There are seasons of growing, seasons of learning, seasons of joy and happiness. Unfortunately, seasons of pain, seasons of hurt, seasons of disillusionment. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know it. You're going to start singing the song in your mind. Ecclesiastes 3, I'm going to read all 8 verses in the beginning here because it's important. The Bible tells us that there's seasons in our lives. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing and stay 6 feet apart. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Profound words. Sometimes in life, things are happening so fast, and seasons of your life are happening so fast, too fast, you can't keep up. Sometimes things are just snail's pace, right? Things are not happening at all in your life. That's a season as well. Seasons can be anything. Finding a career, waiting on a career, finding a job, finding a mate, finding a husband or wife, trying to have a child, caring for an elderly parent or grandparent, times of joy, times of sorrow. We can't stop the seasons of our life. You know, we can't just have one big rainbow season where everything is puppies and, you know, everything is so beautiful and wonderful. That's called eternity with God. That's not called life on earth, unfortunately. So there are going to be seasons when things aren't so great. That's just reality, and the Bible tells us this. We, of course, want to get through the painful or unpleasant seasons quickly, don't we? And prolong the fun seasons. That's not always how it works. Sometimes you get into an unpleasant season because you created it. Sometimes we get into an unpleasant season because someone else created it for us. That's just reality. But the Lord can teach us things and grow us and help us to learn in all seasons of our life if we let him. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. For yet, when as yet there was none of them. Lord, the Lord knew you'd be in this season today, just as the Lord knew I'd be in the season that I'm in. And the Lord knows the next season for you, and the next one after that, and the next one after that. Because he already knows your whole life, and he already knows all of your days. I'm glad he doesn't tell us all of our life and all of our days. Some people say, oh, I want to know everything, Lord. I don't want to know. The Lord knows. That's enough, right? The Lord knows. That's enough. That should be our comfort, because he knows, he leads us, and he guides us in every season that we have. Now, if you look at the children of Israel going around the desert and the wilderness and the seasons of staying and going and all the timing, it's all over the place, right? Just like the seasons of our life. The Jewish sage Ramban says that there were short days and long days. There were short stays and long stays in the places that they traveled. They didn't just travel to each location for like 2 weeks and, okay, that was a great experience. Now moving on to the next one, the next 2 weeks. It didn't work like that. The length of time was meant to teach them things. This is what he says. And this is really the seasons of our life. The season that you're in is however long it's going to be. Sometimes you can get that over with sooner. Sometimes you can't. It doesn't really matter. What matters is you learn and grow through each season of your life. It's teaching us things. God may be preparing that perfect job for you when you've been waiting for so long for it, because you have to just wait a little bit longer because he's got one more thing to do over here. And then you can have it. But if you rush into that, what happens? You mess it up, right? Have you ever messed up something? Well, God knew you were going to mess it up anyway. But he also knows that we have these seasons of our life, and he also knows how to get us in and out and through each season of our life. The key is to be patient, wait on him, learn what we can, and just walk through the seasons with God. So God orders our steps. He orders our seasons, meaning he guides us and gets us through it. And the last point that I want to make that we really need to remember is looking at Israel, looking at ourselves, through all of Israel's travels, through all of our seasons and travels, through all the coming and going, the Lord was in their midst and the Lord is in our midst. That's the last point to put up. He is in your midst. He didn't just walk away from you in this season. He didn't just walk away from America. He didn't just walk away from Europe. He didn't just walk away from whatever. He's still here with us. He's still in our midst. No matter where you are, Adonai is with you. But it's easy to say that when things are great. You know, when you're in a great season, oh, Lord, thank you. You blessed me. I mean, this is awesome. You're with me. What do we say when we're in one of those unpleasant seasons? Lord, where are you? Why aren't you here? Why did you leave me? And then you start to say, is God real? Does God exist? Is God really here with me? You see how we can easily say that when things are going unpleasant? And people do say those things. That's the reality of it. But he's still with us. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Just remember, the next time you're in an unpleasant season, which we call a valley, that God is still with you. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. God is with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what crisis, no matter what, how pleasant or unpleasant it is, the scripture tells us, the Bible tells us that God is with us. We just need to press into him. We just need to know that he's there. We just need to read the word, because by reading the word, we remember these things. Some of us have a perfect memory and we can recount all kinds of scripture. I'm pretty good with recounting scripture. But many times when we're in that valley, we suddenly have this amnesia about the Bible. But turn to Psalm 23, verse 4 this week when you get a little lonely because you don't see everybody because we're still all kind of distancing and things are still not the way they should be in the country. Think of it when you're lonely and things are going bad. Turn to Psalm 23, verse 4 and read it again. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. And there were great times in Israel and there were bad times. Remember we talked about the Babylonian exile where they were just outside of God's will, doing terrible things. God cast them out. They were in exile. And he still says, I have all these plans for you. I have a future for you. The prophet Zephaniah. So I'm going to read a little bit. Before I read the verse, I'm going to give you a little bit to find the book, Zephaniah, right? Because it's not. So I'm going to talk for just like 10 seconds. while you look, you have to go to your index for the book of Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah. Now, the prophet Zephaniah was prophesying at one of those valley times for Israel. He was prophesying when things weren't going so great. Israel was not really following him. They were far from him and his ways. But listen to the character, listen to the heart, listen to the words of God to the people of Israel during one of those times. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Think about that. They were in exile. They had done some bad things. They had sinned against the Lord. They were not physically in exile at that point, but they were in a spiritual exile. They were not following God, and God breaks out with this. I will quiet you with my love. This is how God is talking to us today. This is how God is speaking to us. God is in our midst. He wants us to know that he cares about us, even in this season. So are you feeling a little lost today? Are you feeling a little confused? Are you feeling a little directionless? During the week, there's a tendency, right? Now, when we're here, everybody's all excited. And I'm excited today. This is recharging. This is filling up the cup because the cup got a little empty, right? This is filling up my fuel tank today because I've needed some gas in the fuel tank. You have too. But when you go home this week, you need to refuel with the Word of God. You need to refuel with prayer. You need to refuel with calling that person and saying, how you doing? Yeah, and talking a little bit. Do we feel, though, that we're in this desert? The Lord is with us in the desert. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is not faith if you could see everything, if everything in front of you is known. But faith is when you're in the desert and there's no GPS and no way to see, and all you got is mirages around you trying to trick you to go to them. Faith is believing in God without seeing. Faith is waiting on God, but faith is knowing that he's there with you. The Lord wants you to follow him. The Lord wants you to come to him for direction. The Lord wants to order your days, your seasons. He wants to be with you, even in the valleys. But here's the thing. Turn with me to John chapter 10, last scripture of the day. Here is the thing. We got to remember this. Just as God wants to be with you, somebody else wants to be with you, right? He's not as pleasant. The enemy, the devil, the adversary wants your time. He's putting up mirages in your life because he wants you to follow him. Don't fall for him. Look for the fire. Look for the cloud. Seek the Lord. John 10:10. The thief, you know who that's talking about, that's the enemy. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the enemy's trying to do to you and me. I came, this is Yeshua, that they may have life and have it abundantly. The only person, the only thing that is not going to be a mirage for you in that desert is God. The enemy is setting up all these mirages for you and I, trying to trick us, trying to get our eyes off of the Lord, trying to deceive even the elect if that were possible. We need to wake up to this. The enemy is roaring around like a lion out there, and he's setting up all these mirages to get us off track with God. But Yeshua says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. He doesn't want you to just get through. He doesn't want you to just figure out how to do it. He wants to give you abundant life even in the middle of the storm. He wants to be that calm in the middle of the storm. There's storms raging around you and I today, out there, this year, every year, no matter what's going on, whether we can see it or not, and there's many mirages. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to the Lord, and we will have life, and we will have it abundantly. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, we are in a desert today. It is bad out there, Lord. It's getting worse every day. But Lord, help us not to fall for the mirages. Help us to steady with you. Lord, even our own minds will trick us when we see these this water popping up in front of us. It looks so enticing. The ways of the world are so enticing and can make so much sense in the moment, but they're really mirages, Lord. I pray that you would speak, that you would show all of us, young, old, everywhere in between, show us, Lord God, the truth, which is you. Be with us in the valley. Show us you're with us and help us not to fall for those mirages, Lord, but to stay close to you. I pray right now for our whole community. I pray for the young people, Lord God, that they would seek you and return. I pray for the older people, Lord God, that they would seek you and return. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would seek you and return in these times, that we would just reach out to you. All who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, we are calling out to you. Deliver us today, Lord God. We still have to wait a little longer before eternity begins and we're still on this earth. But Lord, I know the mirages won't stop, but that's okay, Lord. Be that truth and show us clearly the path to walk through that valley with you. We lift up your name, God. We thank you. Fill us up today, Lord God, with you, and continue to fill us this week with that life, that abundant life that only comes from you. We praise you, God, and we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.